you might like to turn in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah chapter 57. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you always that we can say thank you. So thank you very much for all that you're doing and not doing. Thank you for caring. So help us, even as we've opened thy word, and God will thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our exercise of late, we studied the mysteries of Matthew chapter 13. And the mysteries of chapter 13 give us the flow of history, sacred and secular, from all the way back to before the cross, all the way to the end of the tribulation. So we have a movement and a mood. So we have that. And then we reminded ourselves, in the light of Matthew 13, that we ought to be stewards, householders, and in 1 Corinthians 4, etc., we found, reminded ourselves, we are stewards, household managers of truth, of the mysteries. We have a stewardship of grace, and the mysteries are taking place during the time of grace and tribulation. Now, in the light of that, and we have a stewardship, and our stewardship is to exercise and understand those mysteries, so that as we, 1 Corinthians 4, 2, we are the under-rowers, 4, 1 and 2, and we're to be faithful under-rowers. So we're down in the bottom of the ship. We can't see, as you know, in the top, and we're rowing. And as we're rowing down below, we are very given wonderful information. We know what's going to, where the ship's going to go. We know the troubled sea that is going to, we're going to go into troubled waters. We know we're going to go there. So when we're rowing, we can't see, but it's all planned out. So we're already told the battle plan and how it's going to go. So as we're going down, the engagement we're going to find, and whatever happens, in the troubled waters, we're going to be found faithful. And we're pulling the oars. The seas may be rough, the shots, the cannon, all of that. But there it is. We understand it. And when we got on board ship and got down below, and we're given the privilege of being a steward and under rower, to go with God down the corridor of time, we understood where we're going. We understood what we're up against. So it wasn't a trip. It wasn't a pleasant trip. It wasn't a pleasure trip. It isn't that kind of trip. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, so here's the troubled sea. What is the troubled sea? Now, the seas can be very, very, very troubled. There's no question. And the seas can be very, very, very powerful, no matter what the ship is almost. Seas are awesome. Power. The power of water. Most powerful thing on earth, I think. Water. Water in its force. When they have an earthquake in that, I think sometimes the tidal wave underneath goes 600 miles an hour or something. Whatever mile is it, it's terrible. Power moving. Wow. So we know that. So here's Isaiah 57. And we are reminded, among other things, in verse 18. I have seen his ways and will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that is far off and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. So, where is the troubled waters coming from? They're coming from the world history that has left God out of the picture. They have not included God. And so the nations have gone down the corridor of time, and to remind ourselves, as they've gone down, the waters have been troubled. History is very, I think, I don't know for sure, something, I forget so many things. I think only 200 years of secular history are without war that they could find. 200 years of all of history they could find where there's no war. Always war. Now, so as we're going down the corridor of time, wars and rumors of wars, and the world's doing what it's doing. So, over to Daniel chapter 7. Here's the troubled waters, the wicked, the sea, the nations. And in Daniel, and in chapter 7. And you'll recall, in chapter 7, like in chapter 2, you have the image of a man. And the man is humans looking at himself. Think of evolution, and they were the highest and bestest. Mankind, a human, image of man, chapter 2. But from heaven's viewpoint, God doesn't see it that way. God sees it not as a man made in his image. He sees it as a wild beast, and therefore, all of these nations going down, there is no peace, my God, saith to the wicked. So, when we come to chapter 7, and in verse 1, the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream, a vision of his head upon his bed. And when he wrote the dream, he told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea, troubled sea, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse from one another. The Gentile nations coming up out of the sea. That's what they're going, and they're all wild, wild. And the last wild one is the worst one, the Antichrist, verse 7. And I saw in the night vision, behold, the fourth beast, dreadful, terrible, and strong exceedingly. It had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse, different from all other nations. So no one like it. No one like it. Nothing like it. And were before it. It had 10 horns. So it's an awesome, awesome movement of the history moving down the corridor of time, all the way coming up into the tribulation of the Antichrist, which is chapter 7 and verse 7 and 8. So here we look at that. And if we would took time to read in Revelation 13 and verse 1, here's the Antichrist. He's representing all of the nations. He represents them. Egypt all the way down. He's the God of this world. He represents them. And in Revelation 13:1, where are they coming from? Where does the Antichrist? He comes up from the sea. From the sea, not from the land. From the sea he rises up. The troubled sea. Wicked, 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 wicked. Wicked men have no peace. They're like a troubled sea. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, and in Genesis, you know, in chapter 6 and all of that, chapter 3, evil, evil, Adam and Eve chose evil, a large mistake, to say the least. Then when they did, the human nature fell. Adam and died spiritually, and Eve did, and they got saved right off. But they had Cain and Abel, who died spiritually. But Abel believed God and got saved. Cain did not believe God and stayed unsaved. And thus the whole Genesis 6, etc. And Genesis 6, as you know, is characterized by what? Genesis 6, 5, evil. 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 That's what they did. Continually evil. They never quit. It just got worse and worse and worse. Where does trouble and tribulation come from? Evil. Evil, wicked men are like the troubled sea. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so this word evil, bad, unhealthy, malignant, unfitness, internally, eternally bad, worthlessness, if you would. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so in Genesis 11, remember the Tower of Babel and all of those things. And they have religion and politics, and they went and moved, and God had to scatter them. Now, having scattered them, so the nations are what? They're troubled and troubling and wicked. So here's all, look at all the nations, Genesis chapter 10, here's all the nations, and here they are, and they're all doing the same thing they did in Genesis 6. They're all practicing the same thing like they did in Genesis 6. So what have we got? We got the nations. And then God raised up Abraham, and Abraham got saved, and God's wonderful grace, Abraham got saved, and Israel came along. Now here's all the troubled sea, the troubles everywhere. It's all boiling, bubbling sea. And as looking out, and God raises up an Abraham to be a testimony to this wicked, troubled sea. To tell them there's wonderful peace, peace. There's no peace, saith, we read it in Isaiah 57. There's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. They just don't have any. What's Abraham going to do? He's going to point to peace. Now, having said that, over to Israel, Numbers chapter 13. Israel's raised up to be a wonderful testimony. And in Numbers chapter 13, picking up if I may, Numbers 13. And you will note, remember the spies went out as in the north to the up northward and searched the land of Canaan, Palestine, and came back with a good report, except the 10 of them said a bad report. And you'll notice the difference in verse 30, just to refresh your mind. 13:30, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome. They were to go in and take the land as God had promised. Verse 31, but the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Now verse 32, and they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that what we saw in it were men of great stature, etc. What did they bring? They brought an evil report, a negative evil report. They said, we can't do it, we can't do it. And then, so what? Now we're going to spend, because an evil report fits, because God's supposed to show the peace. But they are not in the place to show God's peace. So God has them 38 years more in the wilderness, and they kept them there. That was because of the evil report. Now, in the light of the evil report, and chapter 14, sliding over, you'll see it a little more. Chapter 14 in verse 27. How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Verse 35. And I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it. For unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me in this wilderness, they shall be consumed, and there they shall die. Verse 37. Well, verse 29. Yeah. 37, I said. I was looking at it, 37. even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. So they died right off. They didn't last at all. So here they are in the beginning, and 38 years later are going to go by. And in the process, as they go by, over to Deuteronomy and chapter 30. Now this is, remember what you're looking at. You're looking at 38 years later, after they've spent 40 years, it's 40 years now, in the desert. That's what they've done, because of their unbelief. All the world around them is doing what it's doing. And here's God containing Israel in the wilderness for these 40 years. And in the process, it's because of the evil. Now, as time goes on, you'd say, well, 48 years, 38 years go by, we should learn a little bit. But the trouble is, we don't always learn a little bit. So therefore, chapter 30, and God gives an encouragement, as you know, verse 15. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil. Now, you're either going to choose the right direction or the wrong direction. You're going to have to choose one. What are you going to do? Are you going to keep the evil? That's what you did. Are you going to keep that? Or you want the good? What do you want? Life or death? Blessing or cursing? Therefore, chapter 31. And in chapter 31, picking up if I can, in verse 17. Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day for what they did. My anger shall be kindled against them, verse 17, in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured, and many evils, evil and evils, and troubles shall befall them, so that they shall say in that day, are not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us? We didn't have God among us. We put God out of the picture. Verse 18, I will surely hide my face in that day, for all the evils which they shall have wrought, in that they have turned unto other gods. Verse 21, and it shall come to pass that many evils and troubles are befallen them, that this song shall be testify, always it's a negative, the song is to condemn them, to make them pay attention. It shall come to pass that when these evils and troubles have befallen them, that this song shall testify against them, as a witness, for it shall not be forgotten out of the mouth of their seed. For I know their imaginations, their thought process, which they go about, even now, before I have brought them into the land, which I swear. I already know what they're going to do. Verse 29, for I know, this is Moses now, for I know that after my death, you will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil shall befall you in the latter days, because you do evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. And Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. Moses said, you're going to be like you are. You're set in your thinking and how you're going and where you're going. So what can we expect? Failure. You're not going to fix anything. When you go in the land, are you going to clean up the land and get rid of the idolatry? No, you know, you're not. And therefore, evil and trouble lie ahead. You're living in the midst of a troubled world, a troubled sea. It's all surrounding you. I wanted you to be at peace, to show the world that they don't have to, they can change, they can be converted, saved, but you aren't doing that. All you're doing is fitting into the picture, as you know. And then, as you know, in 1 Samuel chapter 8 and that, 5, we want to be like the nations, and we did all that the other day. They want to be like the nations. The nations of what? A wicked, troubled sea. That's an evil, and what are you going to have? What's he tell them they're going to do? They're going to have evils and trouble. That's the future. Where are they today? Follow Israel's history. Evils and troubles. And by the way, it doesn't get fixed. Why? Because all you got to do is move through time. John the Baptist, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, but they didn't want to believe. They didn't want to believe. So what did they do? They crucified him. Remember 1 Samuel 8, 5, we want to have a king like the other nations. We don't want God as king. The cross, John 19 and all of that. We have no king. What? We have no king but Caesar. We have no king. Did they ever fix it? No. All the kings, good kings, bad kings, they never fixed anything. It's like our country. We're in a place where everything is gone the way it's gone for years and years. You can't get all the weeds. You can't get the plants, the trees, the roots of that which has been planted. The trees are so big, the roots are so deep. It's our system. We're going down the corridor of time. Think of the beast, Revelation, Daniel chapter 7. Each beast gets worse, as it were, till the Antichrist. Doesn't get better. And here we are, a short period of history, 46 years of declaration, whatever, and here we are in church history. And we're just a little nation, but we're part of the system. And we're caught. And the system's playing the game. They know the game awesomely well. And the devil knows how to play the game. The world system plays the game. And the people, believers, are trying to be a testimony all through history, but they're always stuck because the nations are powerful and the devil, wickedness, the wicked sea. It's awful tough to keep rowing. So as you're going, you're rowing, but wow. Now, so having said that Israel doesn't get better. The thing doesn't get better, doesn't clean itself up, doesn't cure itself at all. So, having said that and keeping that in mind, over if you would please to Daniel again. And Daniel's living, telling us a great, great prophecy of Daniel chapter 9. And in Daniel chapter 9, picking up, please, and you will catch it. Daniel, remember, has been given a wonderful, he's going to give a wonderful prophecy of the outworking of the 490 years and all of that. All of that's his assignment, among other things. So, but in the process, what have we got? Where's Daniel? Daniel is where Jeremiah, Ezekiel, the Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar has gone and taken the city. The Jerusalem level temple gone. Here's Daniel. And Daniel is given a vision. So what do we got? you know, from Daniel 2 and Daniel 7. We just did it with a beast. It's the movement of history, the wild beast, the nations, troubled sea, all the way down the corridor. So Daniel looks, there's nothing but troubles ahead. Israel is not going to get back on its feet, is not going to change, and is not going to change. And Daniel sees this, and God gives a wonderful outworking of how history is going to go, the 490 years, etc., which includes the cross and the mysteries of the kingdom in the middle, etc., etc. Now, having said that, Daniel chapter 9, picking up in verse 12. And he hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us, against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. Ruined. Who could ever believe that God would let it get so ruined? Verse 13. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. We need to turn around. We need to turn around. We're doing that in Jeremiah. They're not going to turn around. They're going to keep going. It's a troubled sea. So here's back to the mysteries that you did, Matthew 13. Here we are in this age of grace. What are we in? We're looking at the world. The world is not looking for peace. It's looking for peace in the wrong way. The world's looking, it's a troubled world. It's a troubled world in trouble. And that's very troubling. Now, so that's where we are. So, and Daniel, while you're in Daniel again, Daniel chapter 12. How does God going to end Daniel? And you know, he's just picking up part of it in chapter 12. And in verse 1. And at that time shall 12:1. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble. Evil makes for trouble. Troubles, and God said, troubles and evils are await you. There shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to the same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one shall be found that shall be found written in the book. Now, so that's the end of the tribulation. God's going to save them. And you know from our study of Daniel 4 and all of that, that that's how God's going to reach them. They're going to be scattered. They're going to be no nation. They aren't where they should be at all. But in the process, God's going to hang in there and going to ultimately do something. But in the meantime, they're just going to be in trouble. And they're going to be part of the system. And that's what they are. So when they're part of the system, Israel and the church, Laodicea, Revelation 13, is dark. The church is supposed to be a light, and it gets darker and darker. And so as we come to the end, it's darker than it was in Acts chapter 2, obviously. Wow. So now, having said that, John chapter 3. And in John chapter 3, and you're going to recall, John 3, picking up, please, in verse 18. He that believeth on him, Christ, is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation judgment. What is that? That light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. They didn't want light. Darkness hates light. Evil hates right, hates it. So, darkness, darkness, evil. So evil finds and feeds trouble, trouble, turbulence, trouble. The word trouble, one way to think of that is think of a nice, calm little pool of water out there in the field somewhere, a nice pool of water, and you can see down bottom. But then you go in, and something stirs that pool up, and stirs it and stirs it, and then you look, you can't, it's all what? It's all muddy, mucky. You can't see. It's troubled. It's disturbed. It's distressed. We can't see. Right, that's the word trouble. And another way to say it, the mind. The mind gets all stirred up, and it can't put the piece together. Distress, trouble, turbulence. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so darkness and evil have no intention of receiving Christ, receiving grace, none whatsoever. And you know from Revelation 6, without turning there, in the end of the chapter, in the judgments, God is going to come, step out of the heaven, and he's going to judge, and they're all going to run and hide. They're going to run and hide from the wrath of, from what? Chapter 16 and 17, from the wrath of God. They're going to hide from the wrath of God. Wrath. God said. So, we're going to trouble. Here we are. We looked at grace. We looked at wrath, so we saw it. We looked at the mysteries, so we see it. Look at the troubled sea, so we see it. Get the peace. I got it. Got it. Now, and in the process, then I need to exercise it. So, 1 John, in John chapter 1, you know, verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and the Lord Jesus Christ, full of grace and full of glory. And verse 16, God's going to go, and he is the source of grace, and therefore he never runs out of grace. And so that verse 16, grace upon grace upon grace, like waves of the ocean, waves, grace upon grace, that's how we live. How do we live? We represent the stewardship, Ephesians 3:2, of the grace of God, the dispensation of the grace of God. And we represent that grace. We represent that grace at 10 o'clock tonight, and at 12 o'clock, and at 8 o'clock in the morning. God is what? God is full of grace in Christ, and Christ is delivering to you his wonderful life, grace. Grace, grace. God providing all that God alone can provide for your life, who he is your life. So you go down the corridor of time and God's keeping you in his grace. That's how you're saved. Wow. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if you would, and you know, we have to walk by faith, not by sight. That's how we're going to go down the corridor of time. And as we get on the card of time, either we're going to walk by faith or we're not. And we're either going to abide, John 15:5 in that, or either we're going to abide like the vine and the branch, or we're going to do nothing. I think that's the other alternative, isn't it? John 15:5. If you don't abide, without me you can what? Do nothing. Now, what else can we do? Nothing. What else can we have? I want to serve the Lord in this. I want to do that. I want to do this for God. Without me, you can do nothing. Nothing means nothing. We're going to have a new campaign. Without me, you do nothing. This is a great program, great song, great singing. Without me, you can do nothing. We just think of the law we did in Sunday school on the high priest and that. God said, when it's done, when he said, the law is finished. The dressing, the clothing, the food, the everything that they did to try to represent and help the people understand God, God said, I've terminated it. It's all finished. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. He's finished. No more, no more. Without me, you can do nothing. So now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so we need to abide in this wonderful grace. So here's trouble, John chapter 14. And you'd recall, now this is where it's so good for us, because we studied this, remember? We did John chapter 14 a week ago or so, whatever, we did it. So as you learn things, as you learn them, boy, it's easy. So when I opened John chapter 14, you're already there. Evils and trouble, the wicked sea. God, here we are in the middle of it, and here's the Lord Jesus in the upper room telling that he's going to be crucified. We have no king but Caesar, and there's no, just grace is all that's going to be of the believing remnant, that's all, and great persecution. Now, chapter 14, in the light of that, and pick up in chapter 14, chapter 13, verse 38. And Jesus answered him, this is Peter, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, assuredly, amen, amen, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me three times. I tell you, you're not going to do it. You're trying to do it in your own strength. You're trying to do it with your own understanding. And you aren't going to go anywhere. Without me, you can do nothing. It ain't going to work. But I'm praying. I think good. Good for you that you're a good thinker. But without him, you do nothing. So, chapter 14, verse 1. Peter, be encouraged. Let not your heart be troubled. There's your little word. Think of the muddy water agitating, stirring up turbulence. Chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And then, you know, the wonderful promise. You're going to be in my Father's house, and I'm waiting to take, I'll read it. Why should I say it? In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. That's such a hope, a blessed hope. So we have that wonderful, wonderful hope that we're looking to God, and God does that. So don't be troubled. It's a troubling world. In trouble. Going to be very troubling. Very troubling. Tribulations. That makes this trouble look like nothing. So now, chapter 14, verse 27. The Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to go and help us. And remember what the Israel was to be, a message of peace in a troubled world, for the world to know this can be peace with God. And you don't have to war. You don't have to go against God. So chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. There's your little word again. Neither let it be afraid. Now you're troubled, trouble, trouble, but don't be troubled. The trouble is very troubling, but don't be troubled. Don't be troubled. I already told you it's going to be trouble. Don't be troubled. You have to be troubled. Be at peace. That's why you have Philippians 4, 6 and 7 and that. Just don't worry about anything. Looking to God with thanksgiving and the peace of God, verse 7, will guard your heart. But mother, you're living in trouble. We're down below deck, rowing in the corridor of time. Here we are rowing down. Things are not going to get good. You would like them to get good, a little gooder. I have a thing, I'm going to bring it out. Jeanette found it. She was saving it so when we go to the store, she could use it. But it was written in 1986, 36 years ago, it was written. And it was shopping. Two big pages of grocery list, grocery shopping. All the coupons and everything. I'm going to bring it out for you. It's big print. You have to see it. Butter, a pound of butter for 10 cents or something, whatever it was. I mean, you have to see it, And she's waiting to go to the store to get this sale. And I told her, it's too late. It's too late to go. You can't get butter anymore like that. Now, my point, it's there. And it's just moving. You'd like it to go away, but it isn't going away. It isn't going to go away. How can it go away? It can't go away till trouble has to go into tribulation. So, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if I can, go with me, please, over to 2 Corinthians. And in 2 Corinthians, picking up, please, here's the trouble. We're in trouble. And in 2 Corinthians, in chapter 1, And you'll see it. Trouble, to make turbid, to distress, to confuse, to perplex. Don't be troubled. Now, so, 2 Corinthians and chapter 1, keep in mind. If I can, down to verse 3, Blessed be the God, even our Father, God, even the our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. So we're to be very much encouraged about God. He's up on the upper deck, we're down on the lower deck, and he's working it all out in these troubled waters, this troubled sea, as we're going. So, and we're not to be troubled. We ought to be what? An encouragement. How can we be an encouragement? In troubling times that are more troubling, darkening times that are darker. How do we become an encouragement? Verse 4, who comforts us? Comfort. The word, remember, the comforter, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, he is the comforter. To come along, encourage, to come alongside and do everything that's needed to aid, to help us. Who comforts us in all our tribulation? In all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. There's the same word. By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So the encouragement, we're down there, and someone, I don't, you have to imagine this somehow, forget the boat, I guess, unless you look out the porthole and the enemy comes in and sticks his head in, use your imagination. And the enemy sticks his head in and says, what's what? He said, listen, what you need to know is the God up on deck, the God who's running this thing, you need to turn to him and believe and get saved. That's what you need to do. And we're very sure where we're going. We're very comforted in the rowing. We're very encouraged. We are not discouraged. The system is discouraging. Discouraging. John just gave me a thing on the White House doing what? Having a whole system to fix the boating. And they won't give any of the information to the FBI. They won't give it to anybody. It's in the system how they're moving everything for the election. And they won't let it out till afterwards. That's interesting. But what do we do? And they all want to stop it. They all know it. Democrats know it's there. But no one can get the information. It's hidden in that secret group up there in the White House. Well, that's troubling. But in the trouble, don't be troubled. It isn't my job to fix it. My job is to row. The outworking, the outcome is God's. So therefore, the comfort, I'm encouraged. I can be an encouragement to others. Down there. They say, well, boy, it's awful troubling. Yes, it is. But God has a wonderful plan, and God is able to help us understand that in the midst of the trouble, we're to be trusting him, who's the God of all encouragement, who's working out his wonderful plan. And if you want to know what he's doing, you're going to have to go up on deck and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and receive him and open his word and pay attention. And you'll be encouraged like I am. That's what you got to do. You don't want to do that? You don't want to believe? You don't want to know him? Like we did this morning? You don't want to know him? Then you don't. I believe in the God as I understand him. That's too bad. You're going to lose out. Now, so therefore, as looking and trusting God, and by the way, while you're looking at this word, tribulation, trouble, slide over if I can, all the way to, I'll read it, verse 5. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation, comfort, also aboundeth it by Christ. So the more we have, the more comfort we get, the more encouragement we are, the stronger we are. Verse 6, and whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation, comfort. God allows all that to happen to us, that we can be in a good encouragement. How am I going to talk about the mumps if I never had them? How am I going to talk about the shingles if I never had them, you see? So God has to help us go through this stuff. Loss of loved ones and all kinds of things. Now, in verse 6, and whether we be afflicted is for your sake. To see the word afflicted, that's the word trouble, the same word as you have in verse 4. Trouble, tribulation, sliding down to verse 6, afflicted. Wow. Now, if you're afflicted and God, and you endure to the same, you endure it of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. So we want to be an encouragement, and God puts us through all of these things. And therefore, Paul, what did you go through? Verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble. There's your little word again, as in verse 4. Of our trouble, what kind of trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure. How so? It was so distressful, so tense, so troubling, that we were pressed out of measure above strength. How much so? Insomuch that we despaired even of life. We weren't sure we could live. We thought we would die. That's what we thought. It was that troubling that we would die. Now, sliding down to verse 9. But the encouragement, we had the sentence, the answer of death in ourselves. So what if you die? Whether you live or die, he's still the Lord. He doesn't change. And it isn't a question of your body or whether you're here or not. That's why God let all of them get martyred in the days of the early church and thereafter. In the tribulation, why is God going to let them? Revelation chapter 13, verse 7, he's going to let them all get killed. How can you let them get killed? Because it isn't an issue. It isn't an issue. That's only the body. Oh, I don't touch my body. But if you touch my body, dead, what am I going to know? I'm going to know life. Now I'm alive. I'm supposed to know life when? Now. I'm supposed to be enjoying what? Life, N-O-W, right? And the Lord Jesus said, do you believe you'll never die? But so why do you let the body get clobbered? Because it isn't an issue about your body. It's about your relationship to me, said God. And therefore, you're going to enjoy what? You're absent from the body, 2 Corinthians, what? Present with the Lord. How fast? Fast. I'm going to lose. No, you're not going to lose. You're going to discover. You see? So God doesn't, it isn't a big thing. God said it in Matthew 10 and that. Don't be alarmed at what they do. It is not a big thing. Your body. It's just your body. Flesh and blood, what do you know? Flesh and blood, 1 Corinthians 15, cannot what? Inherit the kingdom of God. It can't do it. So don't get upset about it. Don't be troubled. Now, so having said that, so quickly, if we can. So God, you're going to go. Let me finish that because it's wonderful. In verse 9, we had the answer, this answer of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead. Who delivered us from so great a death? And he doth deliver us, in whom also he will yet deliver us. So, we went through death, we didn't die, we could do it again and again, but he's always going to what? He's always going to deliver us. He's always going to do what he's going to do. We're down below deck. The ship isn't going to get attacked. The ship, it will, but the ship isn't going to sink. The ship that you're on, the ship of grace, heading for the wrath of God, it isn't going to, what are you going to do to the ship? Or what are you going to do to Christ? Nothing. That's why you're safe in Christ. In the world you aren't, but that's a troubled world. And it isn't going to get any better. So therefore, if we can, keeping that in mind, over to Matthew chapter 24. Well, Mark, Matthew 24. Well, no, Mark, that opened up the first place. We'll stop at Mark. In Mark chapter 13, our Lord giving encouragement to the disciples. 13 and in verse 4. Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of all these things? What shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? They wanted to know what we're talking about back then. Verse 5. And Jesus answering them began to say, take heed lest any man deceive you. Don't get hoodwinked about what's what. It's going to get better. It's going to work. Or this won't happen. Or whatever. Don't pay attention to what we're looking at. What's the troubled sea isn't going to go away. The wickedness makes for troubled sea. Evil. So therefore, verse 6, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled. There's your little word. Don't be troubled. Don't let your heart get troubled. For such things must, M-U-S-T, they have to happen. So don't be alarmed. Don't be alarmed. All these things must happen. Must needs be. They all have to be. But, oh, such encouragement. The end shall not be yet. It's not the end yet. Boy, are we all done? No, you got another, stretch to go of trouble. We aren't finished on our journey on our great ocean warship as we're traveling. No, we have to finish. Don't be. It isn't finished yet. So don't get alarmed. That's what he said. Comfort, to be comforted, be encouraged. And Paul said of death, he delivered me, he is delivering me, he will deliver me. The ship's still going. We're going to get out in the corridor. And here we go. All of the things are there. You're going to have the tribulation, affliction, and all of that in the sea. So now, over if I can to Romans. I hope you got a little bit as we travel. Just want you to see you're on the ship and it's troubled sea. And it's not getting any better. I'm glad I don't know all the news. I only get little pieces of news, of all the stuff that's going on. They're busy as beavers out there doing this stuff. I mean, the sleeves are rolled up, writing thousands of pages of what the regulations are about everything and putting them out there. And then we got to go and try to recover thousands of pages of regulations and things that are put into effect. And we got 2 more years to go. Wow. That's something, isn't it? Wow. But we keep rowing. Over if I can, Romans. Romans in chapter 8. And in verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. And then the little words, four letters, in you. God, you gotta, I did it. I'm gonna do something. You don't know what I'm doing. I'm trying to help you, said God. Trying to help you get to where you need to be. As you travel, you're gonna go. You're gonna end up in my presence. You're gonna be changed to be like me, to enjoy me. So you might as well try to catch on, catch up. So therefore, Romans 8, we got to endure the suffering for the glory which is revealed in us. Well, how are we going to do that? Verse 28, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So God, what are you going to do? You're going to go and work everything out. That's what you're going to do. And that's what the Lord Jesus said. It has to all happen. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't be troubled. I give you my peace, so you don't have to worry. Why my peace? Now, how about our peace? The world's peace. The world doesn't have any. How about your own peace? No, think of Colossians 3 in that. Colossians 3. The peace of God which passes understanding. And Colossians, the peace that rules in your heart like an empire. God. So think of one thing, if you might, when you're going to bed tonight. Try to think of one thing that upsets God that he can't do anything and isn't doing anything about. Think of one thing that is bothering God to the point he's having to take a pill. You can't. That's his peace. Let his peace be yours. Let my peace I give unto you. I'm not disturbed with it. Don't you be. Don't you be. What? What's going to happen to me? Don't be disturbed. Relax. My peace. I'm not disturbed about anything. Everything is where it should be, going to be. Now, so therefore, verse 35. Therefore, picking up in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall, and what's the word we've been looking at? Trouble, tribulation. Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. How can you even go through all of this and be so encouraged? Everything should be discouraging and something, but it isn't. We're looking to God. We're being a realist. We aren't going and making believe something isn't there. Some things are wonderful. No, they aren't wonderful. They're very bad. They're very bad. So, in our optimism, we're realist. Optimism, full of optimism. Being optimistic, but real. Things aren't good. People don't think good. People aren't coming out good. It's not good. That's not good. But be of good cheer. God is gonna keep and work everything out, and we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. So we aren't going to go and look and try to say, you aren't gonna fix everything. You'd like to fix something, but you can't. And in closing, I'll give you that little illustration that we did once 100 years ago, when down the end of the street, down the end of this street down here and to the right, there was a little place called the Red Grill or the Red Barn. What was that? Bar room? What was that called? Red? Yeah, I don't want to know. Anyway, that's what the bar room. Now I said, how about us getting up from the church? We're all going to drive down to that little place, and we're going to go in. And there are all people sitting there doing what they're doing. And we're going to tell them, we've come to save you. And we've come to save you and to do whatever. Now, everything is against us in that bar room. The people, the reason they're there is for the bar room. The reason is there because they want to have that kind of fellowship or union, communion with each other and with the drinking and all of that. So we don't, we can't go there. We just have to try to be a little light everywhere that we can be Just be a light. So, like a little light. So wherever you are, they see the light. You're in the store, you're in the car, you're in the whatever it is, they just see the light because you're there. Easier. You bring God to wherever you are. Easy. And we don't go and try to invade their world. It's their world, their right to have whatever they want, the way they want it, within reason. Nothing wrong. That's what they do. But we're to be a little light, and we aren't trying to fix everything. That's what I meant to say. We aren't going to go in and get rid of the that isn't there anymore. It's for rent, by the way. And there it is. You got it? Our Father and God, we thank you for thy word a little bit. Help us to understand. And our God will thank you and thank you again in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.